All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Heather Yaremchuk, your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Gross match pour les Oilers. Allons-y avec les leaders. Anything else you want me to try to say in French, Liam?
I couldn't think of anything that wasn't super offensive to the Montreal.
We're coming to you live from Le Studio du Placard Sportif. The Sports Closet Studio, 3 locations in the Edmonton area, none in Quebec.
Quebecois.
All right, let's see. Yeah, final buzzer, Alberta High School French. Stop taking French after grade 6. Dackey said 4 out of 10 on the French today, Tyler. Okay, I think that was okay. You can, yeah, come in, Jay. 12:02.
Bonjour.
It is a very fitting return to the show for you.
Oh, yeah. I heard you run down the hallway and yell, "What time zone?" Because I've been living in 14 different ones over the last 2 weeks. But
yeah,
good to be back. I missed you guys.
Welcome.
Yeah. Missed a lot. Yeah, you did miss a lot.
Why? What happened?
Well, the trade deadline you weren't here for.
I was admiring from afar.
Mm-hmm. I started the show today by talking French. Did not go that well. I said in French, I said, big game for the Oilers. Let's get into it with the lead.
In French?
Yeah.
The whole hug.
So I texted Amber before the show because she speaks fluent French. And I was like,
your fiance.
Yeah, my fiance, which is a French word.
Oui.
And I was like, hey, can you send me the pronunciation for big game for the Oilers? Let's get into it with the lead. I was like, send me a voice recording so I can hear it. And she just sent me back a voice recording in English. I was like, no, I need it in French. It was quite the miscommunication. Anyways, welcome into the show today, everybody. It's a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. I don't know. Again,
I used to be in French. I still speak fluent French, and I can't. I'm terrible at it.
That's crazy. Used to. How? When was the last time you would have been able to like confidently do it?
14.
Oh, so it's been a long time.
It's been a minute.
Do you think if you were in a French environment, you would be able to do it?
I can understand it, but I speak it like English, which like if you know that, like the word arrangement. So I would arrange my words in French as if I was speaking English, which is totally backwards.
Yeah. all right, we're gonna get into our usual Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day. Run of the show. We're going to have our keys to victory for Power Sports and Marine. But first off, let's go to the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat where M Bubs is in and says, Jay is looking tanner than an oodle noodle green onion cake.
Oh, buddy, you should have saw me 5-6 days ago.
I was going to say, before you did the stop in Copenhagen.
I was buzzing.
What'd you get up to in Hawaii? Did you find a spot to watch the game, or were you just watching it in the hotel or whatever?
I watched it. Anyway, I don't get into a long story. I went to this one bar when I was panicking on the Brunch for Ben game.
When you were texting me.
I go to him like, hey, do you have the other game? Like, oh, just go through the list. If it's on there, we show it. Well, it's on the list. While we go there, I'm sitting down like, hey, you put the other game on? The guy's like, oh, yeah, we don't have that package. It's too expensive. I was like, Anyways, so shout out Tyler. Shout out Ronnie. I used her account actually.
I was going to say, I didn't help you at all. I refused.
Well, no, you did. You told me about a service. I clicked on it. I was starting to sign in. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this seems shady. And then I was like,
were you trying to use my Telus sign in?
No.
Oh.
And then I'm like, I should probably change my my bank account passwords just because I was worried about what the hell was happening. But anyways, I saw most games just because the timing of some was a little not too convenient.
Yeah. Obviously, the trade deadline has come and gone, and then the 2 weeks have passed. But what have you made of Adam Henrique early on as an Oiler?
It takes like, I wasn't expecting him to like show up and just like make a massive difference, but like he's a very good hockey player. And we're only just going to start realizing his value more and more. He gets more entrenched into the team and probably more so even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think we're bringing in someone who's reliable, who's got skill, smart hockey player that's, you know, fills a hole that we had. So I'm excited with the trade. Carrick is like, geez.
He might be a guy. My prediction is he's going to score a big playoff.
Low key impact who can then chip in from time to time. Like that's all we want. We want our bottom six to be able to just chip in from time to time.
He's better Derek Ryan.
He's better. Well, yeah, more and tougher Derek Ryan.
Faster, tougher. And he's got 9 goals.
Makes a delicious maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Maybe that's just a good way to get right into the surefire giant question of the show for today, which is how long do you let the third line figure things out before changing it if things don't get better? And again, I'm willing to be incredibly patient with Adam Henrique.
Yes.
And Connor Brown got the 1 goal, so the monkey's off his back and maybe the pressure's off him for a little bit here.
He's back in Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, he got to turn around and come home. Evander Kane. You know, he continues to be a little up and down. How long do you go with that third line? Is there a game you have in mind where you're like, this is the one? If it's not better in 3 games, we're switching it up.
I mean, they get the week at least. So what's that, 4 games, right? Because they play back-to-back on the weekend. And I think a big part of it, too, is you probably want Holloway to get playing more in Bakersfield. And he's doing well, but you need him to have a good run of games as well before maybe you call him out. Because I think what's missing the most is the speed, right? That's what I would say.
Well, what's our cap situation? They're probably going to bring him up the very last minute.
They have about $1 million.
Oh, do we?
I'm pretty sure, right?
Let me check. So why don't we do more? Could have got 10 of fucking reduced twice. Oh, God, this drives me crazy. Anyways.
They have 1.4 million in cap space.
Hmm.
Huh.
We can still use that though, right? Or
yeah, we could.
And again, that's
but you can only use it to bring up Holloway.
Yeah, I know. I liked what Zach said yesterday. To me, like leave Holloway until the final 2-3 games of the regular season. Bring him up for that. Let him play 20 plus minutes a night for the next month. Get really, you know, have his game at its best, and then bring him up for the playoffs and have him on your third line.
Yeah, I think you probably want to give him more than 2 or 3 games up here, maybe 5.
See, I don't know.
Well, it's a big step AHL to NHL.
But he knows what the NHL is.
I know, but he needs to get his confidence in the NHL. So go like light up the
3 to 5 games. There, yeah,
that's better.
Yeah,
he's, okay. Point per game right now in the American League.
Yeah, I mean, he always is when he goes down, right?
No, I mean, that's good, though. Yeah. That he's just been able to maintain that right away. Because last time he went down, remember, it was really disruptive because he was that weird flood in San Diego. So we got to play like 2 of the 4 games you're supposed to play or something like that.
So you're not worried about the third line. You're not worried about the third line.
I am
not right now.
I'm not worried, but the numbers don't look great. Like they've been outshot significantly in both game back-to-back games now. So I think tonight's a big one for them, but also they've not been on the ice for a goal against. They've scored a goal too, I think. So they'll be fine, I think. And people in the chat, he was saying, like, we need Henrik to be impactful right away. It's like Jay said, it's like, it takes a little bit of time here.
It's tough. People
comparing that to Foley thing. It's like, maybe that's, it's fair enough. Like, Toffoli's gone into Winnipeg and done a really good job to start, but like,
not, and they didn't have to give up a first round pick for him.
We also could have got Toffoli without Billy Box.
That's annoying to have that much cap space.
Oh, Jay, I said that the day after the deadline, and no one in the chat wanted to hear it.
I wasn't here.
I know. I'm just saying.
You up, bro.
I said I like the Oilers' deadline. I like Henrik. I like Carrick. I like Stetcher. Needed one more move. And now, I mean, people are sitting here being like, oh, the Oilers' blue line isn't that good. And it's like, well, yeah, Jesus.
You got to go all in, man. Like, that was not all in. That's just like, we made a big bet. Not an all-in bet. Big bet.
All-in would have been doing the second and third for Toffoli.
Look at Colorado. They did like 500 moves.
Yeah,
but Toronto did that last season. And then Toronto did that last season.
Yeah.
It didn't go well for them.
Yeah, but it's because they're Toronto.
But we're Edmonton.
Interesting rebuttal.
But we're Edmonton. We don't do big moves, though.
We just got Ekholm last year.
Yeah,
and then we got Henrik this year.
One addition. Well, look what Vegas does. Look at what Avalanche do.
Yeah, but they had like a lot of extra cap space to play with because they had injured players. The Oilers didn't have that luxury of, you can even call it a luxury.
But look how much Dallas got Tanev for.
Yeah.
Look how much.
But the Oilers tried to get Tanev and Calgary said no.
That is documented.
That was reported.
It's probably because they weren't willing to pay the price.
The Oilers offered
the first in CC for Tanev. Calgary said, no, we're not taking a contract.
Yeah, they're not taking the contract.
Yeah
so they'll go about it the different way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could have.
Yeah, I guess.
Would have taken some creativity, which isn't our general manager's strong suit.
Like, look at what, like the acquisition cost from Dallas was not crazy.
No, it wasn't.
And they got him twice retained.
Yeah, I know. That's
fucking insane, dude.
But it sounds like they were trying to do it and Calgary wouldn't allow them.
It's because they were trying to push CeCe back.
Yeah.
And that's so think about a different place for CeCe. Like there's
evidently nobody wants.
Like you don't. You can't look at the trade of them like this. You gotta look at it like this. Anyways,
interesting. What an interesting visual for those who are listening on the podcast side of things. Let's move into the lineup report for tonight. Coming off that conversation about the third line, our lineup report's brought to you by Service. The Big Share contest is in full swing with your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. Anyone can become a member and save with Service. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required for rules. Visit service.ca/win. Save in a TFSA, save in an RRSP, invest in a GIC, or just save in your daily banking account, Jay. That's lots of ways to save money, lots of ways to get into the Service Big Share contest.
What's a GIC?
A guaranteed investment certificate.
Oh, interesting. Didn't know that. I knew all the other ones. Never heard of that one before.
What's TFSA stand for?
Tax-free savings account.
RRSP.
Something savings account.
I highly recommend getting a TFSA.
I have one of those.
It's done quite well for me. I have a TFSA. I forgot about it. The other day, I opened up my banking account and I scrolled down a little bit further than I usually do. And I was like, whoa, that's cool.
Yeah. Damn.
And with your TFSA, if you want, you could buy some better collective stock and join the family.
You just got to get in on the Swedish stock exchange.
Danish.
No,
Swedish.
Both. Really? Oh, we're double stock exchange?
Double stock exchange.
Wow. How do you
huge know? In Europe. We are just big deals.
Interesting. I didn't know you could be on multiple stock exchanges.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a lot of big companies, North American, are both TSX and Dow.
What's the Swedish currency? Kronen?
Kroner.
Kroner?
Well, yeah, krona, but they say krona.
271 krona right now. Shout out to Better Collective.
Yep.
All right. Anyways, that took a weird turn. Lineup notes for tonight.
We'll load into your Service TFSA.
There you go. Lineup tonight.
Pick a nose talk.
One change for the Edmonton Oilers. It is Vinny Desharnais coming out of the lineup. Troy Stetcher coming in. Troy Stetcher back on his natural right side. His first game in when he subbed in for Ekholm, they had him playing the left side, which I thought was interesting. Today, they slide into his natural side. And they put him next to Darnell Nurse. What do you guys make of the decision to go Stetcher and Nurse and not elevate Cody Ceci back to his spot with Big 2-5?
Well, I actually think they've stuck to a bit of a plan here because they did something similar against Washington, right? Where it was Kulak that got pushed up to play with Bouchard rather than playing, and Vinny stayed with Nurse. So clearly they just want their parents to stay as close to the same as they can before. Yeah.
Those are
too many guys around.
Two completely different pairings, though.
I know, but you keep the Vinny and Nurse pairing together, and then you have a strong side of Kulak playing with Bouchard rather than Stetcher playing on his weak side with Bouchard in that game. But I think this is the right call.
I think it's a worthy experiment.
Well, Quads came on here and said this guy was like a top two defenseman, and then we saw him play.
Quads loves Stetcher.
Yeah,
jeez.
Big fan.
Similar stature.
Probably, actually.
Yeah. When I was on with Gregor the other day, Gregor was like, he's undersized, like very undersized. And I was like, oh, well, they list him at 5'10". Is that a lie? And Gregor was like, oh, yeah, that's a lie.
It's so funny that players' weight and height, their listed weight and height is never what it actually is.
You like, would think the league like, would actually kind of do something with that.
Why is it like, who are you fooling? Like, we have eyes. We can tell.
Yeah. It was like, I think
call it what it is.
I think the Oilers listed Yamamoto at like 5'9 or 5'10. It's like, He was not 5'9 or 5'10.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't like what's the gamesmanship behind that? Like, what edge are you trying to get?
Especially in the NHL. Like junior hockey players and stuff like that. Say, well,
they're growing.
You a 5'11 guy. You'll probably be there by the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get drafted 6'1" all of a sudden. NHL is like, yeah, what is the point?
Yeah, it's so funny. I wonder how like other sports are. I'm assuming probably more accurate.
I have no idea. I don't know.
The NBA lies.
Really?
A lot.
About height?
Yeah. Like KD. They've said he's been all kinds of heights throughout his career.
How tall is he right now?
How tall is he right now?
7 feet in reality.
No, he's not a 7-footer.
I think
he's tall though.
6'11", 2.11 meters.
That is so tall. I don't understand the sense when people like say, oh yeah, I'm 191 centimeters. Like I still don't get it, but I know 2 meters is like huge.
6'11", 240.
Allegedly. He is a 7-footer. Jesus. That is so tall. That's a
big boy. Mulek was in and says he likes this approach because you keep the first and the third pairings the same, and then you allow just Nurse has to learn a new buddy. So yeah, I don't think that's all that bad at all. Again, last game Stetcher was with CeCe, really no way to keep that pairing together and have Stetcher play on his natural right side, which I think is a part of this experiment here. Vinny said he was good to go the other day. The Oilers are saying today it's a nagging injury. We know he has a broken finger. I think if tonight
broken
was
by bag milk.
The finger wasn't broken by bag milk. The news was.
I see what you did there. Well done. Well done.
I think if tonight was a playoff game, Vinny plays. I think this is just a little bit of, and as Knobloch says on day RNA, he looked good, said he felt good. We'll talk to the trainers and see. Keeping Stetcher in rotation here is a nice play for Edmonton. So that is one of two important lineup notes. The other one is that Calvin Pickard will be getting the start tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. What do you guys make? No Stuart Skinner for a second game in a row, but Pickard gets to return to the crease after his shutout against the Penguins.
Well, deserved.
Mm-hmm. Seems like an easy spot. Like, again, we talked about finding ways to keep Skinner maybe even close to that 55, 56 game mark and not getting up into the high 50s. This is one of those games that's an easy enough one to slot him in.
Yeah. And then you have two games coming up for Skinner in Buffalo and Toronto, and then you just play Pickett on the Ottawa game. We spoke about this a few times. It's actually a really easy way just to rotate the two of them through for the rest of the season. Yep. And on Desharnais, like I think you would play if it was a playoff game too, like you said, but you've got a couple of games here at home, which you should be able to win without Desharnais. So why not just let him stay out? You could even put him out for the week if you really wanted to, just to heal it up.
Three straight
that you're going.
Yeah. Three straight starts for Calvin Pickard with a save percentage above 900. He's only allowed 4 goals in those 3 games, despite facing 97 shots on goal. So Calvin Pickard has been giving the Oilers very good results as of late. He will get the start for them. On the other side of things for the Montreal Canadiens is Samuel Montembeau, with Jake Allen gone to the New Jersey Devils. Montembeau is the guy. Firmly the guy in Montreal, not that he was kind of the guy before too, but really without that insurance of Allen behind him. And he's been playing some very good hockey as of late. The last time it's been 6 straight starts for him, allowing 3 or fewer goals against. He's been giving the Habs good results. He'll be a tough nut to crack.
905 on the Habs is that's
a borderline miracle.
He's a brick wall.
920 in his last five starts.
Phil Kempe, 919.
That is very impressive.
If we had 919 goaltending this whole season, Vancouver would be way better than you.
So Pickard has played 14 games so far this season, Jay. If you look at just goalies who have played 14 or more games, use 14 as the dead cutoff. So it's a very cherry-picked stat. Calvin Pickard's fourth in the NHL in save percentage. Pretty impressive.
I thought about the
figure. Good for him, man. I'm very proud of his second act to his career, and he's doing it with us.
Yesterday you said, Tyler, after the Oilers signed Connor Unger, mm-hmm. that maybe they put a veteran in Bakersfield with him, and it would be Calvin Pickard. Why would he go back to the American League right now?
Because the Oilers could say, hey, great work.
But why would the Oilers, like, I get it, like, you probably want to upgrade on him, but he's earned the right to play in the NHL next season. He has a 919 save percentage.
Yeah, I think next year, him and Ollie compete for the backup job.
I would just, that's probably.
So we're getting rid of Campbell in the offseason.
They are buying him out. I've never been more confident in anything.
With three more years. Yep. So 6 years of implication.
Yep. Who's taking him, Jay?
Oh,
that's a totally fine buyout.
Oh my God.
I think they can trade him.
It's just who?
Fucking dead money.
I don't know, man. But Philly traded Cal Peterson and Jack Campbell has played better. And they retained some money on a shorter term contract. That's how I think they do it. We can't talk about this every week.
I know. Sorry. I've been away for a bit.
They're buying him out.
No, I don't think they will. I think they can find a way to get him out of there and they retain on a short term deal.
That, no.
Why is that crazy? It literally happened last offseason.
Because that Peterson thing was a part of a whole bigger thing where Philly really wanted. Yes.
And they managed to move it so that other teams made it work and they retained on a short term deal.
You want to bet?
No, I don't want to bet because it's not worth it at all.
What else did I tell you yesterday when I brought up this whole Connor Unger thing?
I can't remember.
I said, stop reading the mainstream media and do your own research. Connect the dots yourself.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, whatever. Yeah, we don't need to get into it. The point is Pickard's been good. I think next year is pretty cut and dry. You have Pickard and Rodriguez compete for the backup spot. Pickard might be sitting there going, hey, I deserve a crack to be an NHL goalie again. But I think the way you offset that is you go to him and say, here's a one-way contract, $950K. You're going to make almost $1 million, whether you're in the NHL or the AHL. And again, that's one of those things as a rich organization with a rich owner, you can do that. I think maybe some teams would be hesitant. We don't want to be paying our backup down in Bakersfield, $950,000. Keep him. Clearly, he's a good enough third goalie. So anyways, Pickard's been solid as of late. Hopefully that stays true tonight as Edmonton takes on Montreal. Let's get to our game notes for this evening. Liam, the Habs are on a 2-game losing streak. They lost 5-2 to Calgary. They did bring the Bruins to overtime. They're not playing terrible hockey as of late, but one thing that stands out to me is the fact they are just 12-21 straight up this year on the road.
Well, I think everybody takes the Bruins to overtime. The Bruins have 15 overtime losses this season. And are first in the NHL. Might be the biggest fraudulent President's Trophy winners ever.
Right.
15 extra points.
Well, and also, so their regulation wins is 31. Their regulation in overtime wins is 30. All right. They've won 9 games in overtime or shootout. So that means they've gone to overtime 24 times in 69 games or shootout.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. Right?
That is incredibly fraudulent.
What's the draw? What are the odds on the draw tonight?
For the Bruins?
And no, we're talking about the Bruins, not the Habs, but.
Yeah, fair. But still, I'm always going to bet the Bruins to draw.
You'd probably be up so much money if you did that. Another team that's like that, by the way, is the Islanders. They have 15 overtime losses, and they have won 8 times in overtime or a shootout. So they've gone to OT 23 times.
That is insane.
You'd think they'd figure it out after a while.
That's insane.
The Oilers, by the way, 4 OT losses and 8 overtime or shootout wins.
Yeah, proper.
Six,
play it the right way.
6 OT wins. Can you tell me who scored the OT winners in their 6 OT games?
The Oilers?
Yeah, because one of them was against Montreal.
Yeah, Donnellos has 1.
Against Detroit.
Bouchard has 2.
One against Dallas, one against Montreal.
Draisaitl has 1.
Against Boston.
Kane has 1 against Seattle.
Seattle's comeback win in November, yep. Yeah. And Connor McDavid against St. Louis.
Daddy.
Good work, everybody.
I wanted to bring this up. So somebody called Passing Drill on Twitter.
Good name.
Yeah. Tank Drill is their name as well. So they said they put together the system of if the NHL used a 3-2-1-0 point system,
yep,
the league would be exactly the same.
Really?
100%. Literally nothing would change. The Oilers, then this would be as of the 18th. So yesterday, fully up to date. The Oilers would have 116 points to this point and being second in the Pacific Division.
How many points back of the Canucks would we be though? Thank you, Aaron.
They would. Oh, there you go, Jay. Oh. They would be 8 back. So it literally is
2.5 points. No, that'd be better though. Because 8 back in this system, you'd only need 3 regulation wins to catch them and you have 3 games in hand.
Yeah. Maybe, but also evidently nothing would really change.
Yeah, that's fair.
Kind of crazy.
I respect the time, effort, and energy this person.
And you know what?
They're probably just really good at Excel.
Really? Well, yeah. But you need to still pull the data. Yeah. And there's true. probably built an API. You built something.
The full coding system behind those numbers, I'll tell you that much. But one thing, someone had the audacity after this gentleman or lady, this I don't know, put all these numbers together and somebody commented, is like, hey, can you limit those decimal numbers to just 300th, 100th, or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, relax. You know, who really cares? But yeah, there you go. Wouldn't change anything.
Liam, passionate Excel guy.
Oh, just give the guy a break.
Yeah, no kidding.
A lot of code.
Continuing along with our game notes, Leon Draisaitl, 12 goals, 32 points in 25 games against the Habs. Quick math. 44 points in 25 games. That's a lot, Liam.
That is quite good. Can you read my fun fact that I put in the notes today?
Ilya Byakin has the best points per game rate against the Montreal Canadiens for the Oilers with 3 points in 1 game during the 1994 season.
I believe he is the only Ukrainian to ever play for the Oilers.
Oh.
There you go.
Naturalized Ukrainian.
Yes. I've never heard of him before. But I looked
Ilya
up.
Who?
Byakin.
Played one season. Played two seasons.
Come in on.
For the Oilers.
One for the Oilers and then one for San Jose.
Good Puckdoku answer. Keep Ilya Byakin in your heart.
Yeah, played 57 games. It's kind of crazy how short his NHL career was. I don't know what happened, but 57 games.
Why is it crazy?
He had 33 points. Game
28 games. Points in 44 games.
Yeah, and played one
three of them
season.
Came again.
That's a $5 million player right there.
And I mean, for an 11th round pick that played only a year after his draft year in the NHL. I might have been. Yeah, he played.
Maybe he got homesick.
True rookie year in the NHL. Well, he stayed in North America for 2 years.
Ah, well then.
I don't even know how he ended up on San Jose.
How tall was he allegedly?
5'10".
So he was 5'4". He was probably the smallest person to ever play in the NHL.
Yeah, I don't know. Crazy.
Shout out Tiny Thompson.
Shout out Tiny Thompson, the GOAT. Who was the tallest player on it?
Yes.
Ironically,
Tiny Thompson.
At a whopping 5'9", he was the tallest player on his team. But that's how they made people in the 20s. It's just the way it was. That was the trend. Okay. That's enough of that, guys.
You take a dog and breed it down to a miniature version.
Yeah, that's what they were doing in the 20s.
They called the minis actually in the 20s.
Let's dial it back in and get to our keys to victory for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine is now open right in the heart of Sherwood Park. It's the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park or in the Edmonton area, as I like to say, for all things Yamaha, which include Yamaha boats, boat motors, dirt and street bikes, ATVs, side-by-sides, motorcycles. It's your spot to get ready for a fun summer outdoor. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Keys to victory. They are the key to having a good summer. Huh?
Oh, man. Some of those side-by-sides, I'm still thinking about them.
Just to have.
I kind of want one.
That makes sense.
I kind of want you to have
one. If they're street legal, I would strongly consider it and just be my summer car.
Drive to work in it.
I'm thinking about those e-bikes.
Drive through the North Sass to get here.
I'm also thinking of the e-bikes.
They looked pretty good. I got a push bike. I like to bike.
I love the term push bike.
You mean a pedal
bike? Love the term push bike. It's like, where in the hell is the push on a push bike? You and the Aussies.
When I get going, I push off the ground.
But you guys are like too young right now for e-bikes.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Unless you're planning to go long distances quite often.
I've said this before.
Certainly not.
I want one of those e-scooters. I want to have my own. You know, like the limes and the birds, but I just want my own to have. because I could rip to slow pitch so fast in the summers.
Go for beers, come back.
Mm-hmm. Just one beer.
Yeah, you're probably right, Jay. I should stick to my push bike for a couple more years.
I love the term. I don't get it.
I don't really get it either. And I've never questioned it before until this moment.
It's like a regular pedal bike.
It's just a bike. It's a bicycle. Push bike. They need that demarcation to from other types of bikes.
Who said e-rollerblades? Imagine that.
That'd be fun.
Zip around.
You go real fast. That'd be fun. Because rollerblading that's a good workout.
All right. Someone, Brantford's biggest fan, said, back to hockey, boys. Sorry. Let's get into our keys to victory for sure. Power Sports.
How many decimal points do you like?
I mentioned the Canadians 12-21 at home. The Oilers 21-11 straight up on home ice this season. Said the Habs on the road. Sorry. Habs 12-21 on the road. Oilers 21-11 on home ice. My key to victory is just going to be let the offense dominate tonight, because that's exactly what the Oilers do on home ice. And that is exactly what the Habs are terrible at preventing on the road. The Oilers power play 26.6% on the year, second in the NHL. On home ice, that number jumps all the way up to 35.5%. The best power play on home ice in the NHL, almost 3 full percentage points clear of the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Oilers home power play, absolutely dominant this year. The Habs road penalty kill stinks. On the season as a whole, they're 25th. On the road, it goes down to 27th in the NHL. Also, when it comes to just scoring, the Oilers have the second best goals per game on home ice this year. The Habs are 26th in road goals against. They have struggled to keep pucks out of their net, and they have really struggled to keep pucks out of their net when they're not at the Bell Center. So for the Oilers, let the power play hum, let the goals get going, beat the hell out of them, score a bunch.
Eat, cook.
Yeah, let the oil cook. Key to victory, Liam?
I think, because I feel like they've been playing pretty well recently, so I can't narrow it down. Like, they need to be better at this. I'll say I'd like to just see the four lines kind of roll and be productive in their own ways. You don't really need goals from like the fourth or third line, to be honest, but I just need them to be good.
No,
I would like it. But I don't think
that is the craziest thing you could say.
But my key to victory isn't they need to score for the others to win.
But we want to get them going.
My key to victory is all four lines contribute in a positive way.
Well, yes, that is the dream.
Well, that's my key to victory. I'm dreaming tonight on my push bike. I'm pedaling around heaven.
Mine's like, let's get this third line sorted. As Henry gets more games under his belt and gets more comfortable with his new line mates, and now maybe, Connor Brown finishes the season with 6 goals. Maybe he does.
We set the over under at 3.5 more goals from now to the end of the year, or I did.
Yeah, I'm going to go over because I'm hoping that this third line, or at least maybe you can call the left wing replaceable. Like maybe the pairing of Henrique and Brown might be something that works. And that's me. That's dreaming.
If that
works and that actually becomes a thing. Like, that is really good for us.
Yeah.
And I see David in the YouTube chat saying first and second lines will be okay. Third line will struggle with Brown. I don't think it's Connor Brown causing them to struggle, first off. I think it's just, I worry about that combination of players. We talked about it with Zach yesterday, but Evander Kane hasn't been great carrying the puck in off the rush. Adam Henrique really doesn't do that at all. Connor Brown doesn't really see, and you did a shift by shift analysis of Connor Brown. He doesn't skate well enough to carry the puck in off the rush. So they kind of just don't have anyone.
He doesn't skate well enough
with the puck.
Okay.
Like when
he
the puck
can move.
Well, yeah. When the puck's on his stick though, and you see it even when he gets like those, or when he would be getting like those 2-on-1 looks or the puck in the offensive zone.
Should put McLeod on that line because that guy can transport.
But you can't split up what you got on that second.
Once again,
but the idea of swapping
that cap space
to Foley would have been nice.
Oh my God. Imagine. Look at the acquisition cost for that. God, that drives me nuts.
Well, they almost got Eberle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, they would have if you didn't want to stay in Seattle.
Yeah, that's like almost.
That sucked.
I don't know. I just...
I do think the Oilers woke up that morning thinking they had a real shot at him.
I do too. But BM and Zach were talking about this.
Foley should have been your guy.
In the oodle noodle war room on deadline day.
Yes.
There wasn't really a backup plan. If Eberle didn't feel like there was somebody else being like, mm-hmm. oh, they're also in on this guy or this guy.
Holy.
Which was, Foley. I would admit that sucks. But I still think they did a good job. But it does suck to go and look at it. Oh,
they did a good job. Million. We needed a great job. Anyways, I know the trade line was 10 years ago, so yeah. I apologize.
All right, though, those are your game notes and your key to victory for our friends over at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. I saw a little bit of conversation about this in the YouTube chat, so I wanted to bring it up now. GM meetings going on right now in the NHL, and a couple of interesting things coming out of there. Our conversation about the GM meetings is going to be brought to you by Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. It's been that way for north of 20 years. Find them online at starmechanical.ca. 24/7 emergency service. They got you covered. Residential, commercial, they got you covered. One thing, the NHL will not be making any changes to 3-on-3 overtime. There was some conversation that maybe they would extend it to 7 minutes like they're doing right now in the ECHL. That ultimately didn't come to pass. I would have been a fan of maybe tweaking 3-on-3 a little, but I also think it's a really big, if you're going to change it, you need to do a real big change.
And it needs to be like an over and back rule or something.
So here's why you can't, but here's why I don't think you can do that. So the problem is when teams want to reset, right? And they want to bring it all the way back in their zone, or they pass it back to their goalie and it totally slows down the play. The over and back rule would prevent it a bit, but I think it's confusing for new fans to be like, why is this rule only exist in overtime? It's another new thing you need to explain. And two, what constitutes a pass back and what's a shot back? If a guy comes in wide, fires a slap shot wide of the net that rims all the way around back to the goalie, is that an over and back violation?
Yeah, it needs to be flushed out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I think it's hard.
I think you can work through it. It's just because I don't like it. They drag it out. And like, that is obviously the playbook against the Oilers. And maybe there's some bias in wanting this. They just drag it out. So Connor McDavid and Draisaitl for 90 seconds, just chasing that around, and they have to come off and can't be effective.
Reed said two line pass. I actually think the opposite. You need the two line pass because that's what allows it to extend.
How's Mike Smith supposed to make that amazing pass to Connor McDavid?
Oh, that was a great game. But what if you did like the reverse of the two line pass? You can only pass the puck if it goes across two lines. Everything's got to be a stretch pass if you're going to do it.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah, you can't even do a 5-foot pass to your D man. Only stretch.
Yeah, only stretch passes.
Well, people would just be buzzing around.
Well, someone in the DFO chat mentioned this idea, and I actually think I love it. No offsides, no icings. 3-on-3 OT is just lawless. You can do whatever you want.
I think the icing you could get rid of I think the offside you need to would need to keep.
Why?
I just feel like you do need to have that bit of like structure. I love soccer. Like this.
And the sanctity of the offside is so important.
Yes.
Because I think offside soccer is stupid.
Oh, it is stupid, but it's very necessary. You need it. You can't have people cheating.
It's offside. It has to be there, says Mac. You
can't sneak in behind a defender.
Okay, but here's the thing.
You just can't do it.
The only argument for keeping offsides in is because it's always been there. Like, what's the...
Because I think I just makes it better rather than like cheating on the play and having a guy just wait at the other end of the ice.
It's 3-on-3.
Oh, I know
it would spread it out. It would make it more exciting.
I think it's already really exciting.
I think it's fine too.
I think eliminating the icing is a good idea. I would be on board for that one.
They should play 10 minutes where they go half ice and the net on either against the boards, like the little kids' tykes. And they have to play in just a real confined environment. And it's just stick handling in a phone booth.
Chaos.
Someone said shot clock like basketball. A couple people did. No, because it's the same problem as the over and back rule. What constitutes a shot?
When you hit the net.
So if a guy comes...
The same thing they do for every game. A shot on net. In the NBA,
yeah.
If the ball doesn't hit the rim, the shot clock doesn't reset because it wasn't a shot.
So team handles the puck for 19 seconds. They set up, the Oilers set up Draisaitl for a one-timer down low. And he misses the net by an inch and it rims all the way back down to the other end of the ice.
That's not a shot.
So then after he misses that net, the whistle's going to blow. We're going to have to stop play, go what? All the way down to the Oilers end of the ice.
Well, holy cow. Yeah. You make it seem like it's
But that's slowing it down. Getting rid of offsides and icings. Don't do any of that. Less stoppages, more skating, more passing.
Over and back.
It's not a shot. People are saying that's a shot.
Christopher Palmer, what if the shot is blocked by a D-man? Great point.
Over and back. That's why over and back. Over and back.
But over
and back. If the shot doesn't count in regulation, like if
you shoot and miss the net and it rims out, then possession should go back to the other team.
Yeah, go get the puck.
Over and back.
Okay.
Or the goalie's got to play it.
See, that is why.
And then shoot it up front.
Well, like, hey, so new hypothetical to throw your way to poke holes in your little
theory.
Okay, you're trying to pick me apart here.
I know.
It's because you ride your push bike.
Draisaitl misses the net. It goes wide.
Hit the net.
As it's rimming around, shot clock's going 3-2. A Canadiens player tonight picks it up. He's got a breakaway. Shot clock, what do you do? Does it end because the Canadian guy touched the puck?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Point, Liam. Figured that one.
Basketball.
Master planning. You yourself deflated?
Yeah. No, okay. That would work.
We're in the safe space.
Yeah.
There's just 700 people.
I guess
listening.
The reason it works so well in the NBA is because you can't just have those quick ins and outs.
Yeah.
You can't just have a quick face off.
Christopher Palmer saying 10 minutes, stoppage only if the goalie saves it, no change at the whistle. 10 minutes, apparently the PA like hates that idea. They would want something back. I've never understood that.
I don't get it.
Like, why do you? And
it's
they're
just
like,
overtime.
It's more wear and tear on the players' bodies. Is it?
Use small players.
Like you are playing more hockey.
Yeah, but you'd be using more players. Also, you're telling me Connor McDavid is going to be like, no, I want a shootout. There's no way. Other stuff that was discussed at the GM meetings tonight, just taking a peek at what some of the insiders were posting about adding a goalie to a list of players who can get a penalty for intentionally dislodging the net. I think Colin Campbell even said before he laid all these out to the media, he's like, none of these are exciting. There's like one about which centerman can get a warning on a faceoff and things like that. But there's a new coach's challenge. This is kind of the big one. If a penalty is called for puck over glass, coaches can ask for a video review to prove it did hit something. This is only for when a penalty is called, cannot be used to call a penalty on the other team. So
when are we just going to put these heat sensors in to the puck so you can actually see when it hits things? Like, when are we just going to get to that point of advanced technology and not just be like, oh, let's zoom in far.
How can tennis and really soccer...
Cricket does it all the time too with the LBW rule.
What's LBW stand for?
Leg before wicket.
Baseball with a strike zone.
Leg before wicket.
So you like block the wickets and they put up this thing and it basically shows like a heat map of where it go, where the ball landed and all that stuff. And you like have all these sound things. It's like, and it doesn't take long at all. Like tops like 2 minutes. And I just don't know why the NHL is like, oh, we need more video review so we can zoom in on our iPads, and still not really have a really good answer for it. Right?
Holy. Okay. How about this one from Friedman? Okay. So puck over glass challenge. If you challenge and are wrong, it's a 5-on-3.
Whoa.
Same thing now, I guess, if you challenge a high stick and get it wrong.
So they're basically sick. So let me get this right. You challenge it, you get an additional penalty.
Yeah.
So they're basically encouraging you not to challenge anything.
Unless anymore. It's like so blatant that you're like, you need to be 1,000% sure.
So they're bringing in more challenge opportunities, but also punishing you for challenging.
Yeah. Just you need to be sure, but you need to be sure that, that I don't actually hate that. Can you
imagine? Bring back either, Jeremy Cooper. It just seems just so both sides. Like, just don't bring it in.
No, I think it's giving in a little bit. Like, okay, like you think the refs are messing these up? You think you're better than the refs? Put your money where your mouth is.
That's a good point too.
Can you imagine an Oilers playoff game? Puck over glass. The other team challenges, and it's like, oh boy, here we go. They're wrong. Player Drew Doughty is adamant. He's yelling at who's Jonas Hiller, the head coach of the LA Kings now.
So, yeah.
Yeah. He's yelling at Hiller. He goes, challenge it. And they're wrong. And Doughty and a friend have to sit in the box for 2 minutes. Oilers 5-on-3 in the playoffs.
It's even like on Saturday when they were claiming that Ekholm put it over the glass of Drouin. And it was like so clear it deflected off his stick.
Yeah.
So maybe that wouldn't be too bad, actually.
All right. There's your update from the GM meetings for our friends at Star Mechanical. Check them out online, starmechanical.ca. A Oilers taking on Montreal tonight. Let's get to, it's time. We're back finally, all three of us in the same room so we can do a proper edition of the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge. A big shout out to our friends at Betway 19+. Please play responsibly. How about this for an offer? With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create a new account, scan the QR code on the screen. It's on your screen right now. And redeem your bonus. Place a bet with no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer is only available outside of Ontario. Again, free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Check it out at Betway. Scan the QR code for more information. Our bets of the game. Gentlemen, what are we liking this evening? Liam is now firmly in first place. Oh, also, we've gotten rid of the records because they made no sense.
Yeah, so I had a bad trip.
Got to master the records.
Hear those footsteps, Jay? That's me coming up from behind. Sure. Connor McDavid power play point -110. At some point, I need to get more aggressive with these bets if I want to get really back in the mix. But I like the -110 on the power play point. Seems like a lock today. Oilers power play hums at home. Habs, like I said earlier, suck on the PK at home. So McDavid power play point.
I'm actually surprised it's -110.
Good value.
Yeah.
McDavid goal and assist +150 for me. He was ripping the puck the other day. I know
goal and assist.
Yeah, +150. There wasn't much out there, was there?
Bouchard 3.21, yeah, 2 points.
That is good.
And this could be a point night.
I have a difficult time putting Montreal in the same group as like one of the worst teams in the league. Like, I think they're actually, they can cause you some problems, kind of like Columbus in a weird way. You know, like they can score goals, but like, I just don't see this game being like 6-7 goals, something like that.
So you bet the under?
You don't think it's going to go over, eh? Well, even with, I mean, Pickard's been playing good as of late.
I mean, we just said how good Montembeau was. He's a 920 in his last five.
Yeah, and the Habs haven't allowed more than, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. They haven't scored more than 3 goals at 5-on-5 in a game.
Ever.
You gotta go back to December 22nd.
2009. December 2009. Wow.
So I think that's interesting as well. They also haven't allowed more than, 3 goals against it, 5-on-5 since February 15th. So it's been over a month in that regard. So maybe the over isn't the play I thought it was. Yeah.
I'll say 4-2.
Safe.
Can you say it in French?
Cat and de toi. Yeah, cat.
Yeah, why'd you go up to toi? You need to just de.
Cat the.
Well, it's like when you do the alphabet, you don't go A, B, D. You got to say C. So I wanted to make sure I got it in the order. So cat de tonight for the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers.
I'm going to say 6-3.
You're gonna say six.
That's what it says on my translator.
Not C's.
Get it wrong. No, I'm gonna say six.
So I'm
saying an English six and a French trois
cinq,
for the half.
Cinq et la boue.
Oh boy.
Thank you.
5-0
5-1
5-1 Zero is zero in French.
The first thing you say when you count is de trois.
Not gotta get that N in there.
Un, deux, trois.
No.
Song.
I'm six. Clipping all of this.
Seven, eight, nine, 10,
11,
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21.
I'm 13.
Okay, what is a Vander Kane in French?
Neuf. Isn't it? It's close.
91.
91.
I know I'm
you
right.
You are correct.
I remember my numbers. Yeah, so 4 times 20 plus 11. It's kind of like Roman numeral once you get kind of like.
I thought you asked me what number he was.
I said Nipa.
Isn't he 91?
Yeah, so think of what I just kind of went the logic.
Isn't that what I said?
That's how you say 91 is Nip, huh?
I don't know. That's what I thought.
Do you say 91, 91?
Yeah, you'd 91. Be saying 9-1.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was a bit silly. So how do you say it?
91. 4 20s and 11. Like I said, it gets so French silly. Numbers kind of get Roman numerally a little bit.
And people say the language is difficult.
Good culture.
I know.
Yeah, he's been very confident this whole time.
I've been steadfast.
All right, let's get to the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $25 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Thank you, Jay. New episode of Oilers Nation Radio going to drop this afternoon. The return of Dan's game for another week,
that'll be good.
Just unhinged last week. Oh, we should.
Unhinged, why? Because it was overly complicated.
We did a draft of capital cities.
Tyler picked the number one capital city.
Of like world capital cities?
Yep.
You had first pick.
No,
I was third. I was right in the middle of the order.
I had Dublin, Berlin, and Tokyo. I was second pick. London went. Actually, you took London.
London went first?
London.
I think so.
No, I took London in the first round, though, I think.
I think I was the fourth.
You had the option to take London?
No, I never got the option. I never got the option. It would have been my first pick.
So they went Dublin, which is controversial. I'm surprised you didn't go Belfast.
But St. Patrick's Day was coming up.
Oh, yeah, but still, if you're true to the Commonwealth. Well,
I was thinking...
what's going on with King Charles?
I don't know. I don't think he's dead, though.
Okay, there's something really... Okay, so we do before this, and this is why I was late. We have every Tuesday, we have our senior leadership meeting. And BM drops to me that they've announced a new James Bond.
What's his name?
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Aaron
Taylor Johnson. I quite like it.
I like when they kind of go off the board. So like, I need to know about this guy.
Well, he's kick-ass. He was in one of those Avengers movies. He's not really attached to anything besides kick-ass. So
is he British?
Yeah. His wife is also like 40 years older than him. So take that for what it's worth.
What?
He's shredded.
Yeah.
40 years older?
She's
no.
I swear to God. Aaron Taylor Johnson's, I should have typed in white.
He was in Bullet Train with Brad Pitt.
Oh, that's a great film.
Yep. Yeah. His wife is 57 and he is 33.
So maybe that's 24.
Well, my point was she's quite older.
Okay.
Her name is Sam Taylor Johnson.
That would make sense.
He took her name. Interesting.
I'm going to take Amber's last name.
You should.
We had to rebrand everything.
It's Oilers Nation every day with Amber.
Thing on this show.
Just, I'm taking her first name.
But I do like that that James Bond wasn't like Henry Cavill or Tom Holland or something like that.
I like the pick, Liam.
Those guys are just attached to their own characters already. This guy's his own man. He's going to be in the Spider-Man.
So movies. Is he the guy in Bullet Train with the, like, they're like the brothers.
Guy. Yeah.
Well, they're like brothers. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, it's like when they picked Daniel Craig, I was like, who? And then I watched Layer Cake and I was like, oh shit, this is going to be good. And he's now my favorite Bond.
Aaron Taylor Johnson was also in Godzilla. Any thoughts on the new James Bond?
No. I have thoughts on the new episode of Oilers Nation Radio that's going to drop later today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And if when we wrap up here, you still want more Oilers content, Gregor's got his game notes up on the website and later today. Did you chip in on the roundtable?
I didn't submit my answers, but I wrote them all down. But I never sent them in.
I think you can still send them in.
No, it got posted.
It's up. Our roundtable's up.
Yep.
There it is. Oh, yeah. Predicting the NHL awards with 1 month left in the NHL season. So if you want to see who I have for each major award, head over to the website. Well, read the article.
Who did you? Can you just tell me right now?
Nope.
Well, can you give me one?
Nope.
I want to know who your Jack Adams award was.
I didn't pick Rick Tocchet for Jack Adams.
Me neither. What? I did Tortorella.
And then he scratched Sean Couturier.
Yeah, that was big.
And I was like,
yeah.
Maybe not a great pick.
I just think they have no stars on that team. The goalie is.
They're still probably. I think they're going to miss the playoffs.
I mean, maybe. But even if they. I guess it's hard to win if you don't make the playoffs, but they've had an unbelievable season.
You picked Torts.
So there you go. Also, didn't pick McDavid for the Hart. So it's too bad.
He needs to have a strong finish.
And I think eventually you just got to give McKinnon the credit of being like.
Well, what if Matthews scores 70 goals?
It doesn't.
I don't care anymore.
I don't think he's high enough in. Is he even leading his team in points?
Well, did he the year he won?
Yes, I believe he did.
He scored 60.
So for me, where I've soured on the Matthews thing is like, even if he scores, let's say 72 goals this year,
which is insane.
Yeah. Still, though, I don't think he'll finish with the most points on his team. I think Nylander will still beat him.
He had 106 points that year, sorry.
And there's already an award for scoring the most goals. Scoring the most goals doesn't automatically win you the Hart Trophy. That's my take on it. I think McKinnon's to lose. He deserves one.
I mean, he's already passed his career high.
Mm-hmm. What if McDavid beats him in points at the end of the year?
Then I think we then have a conversation about it, but I don't see Kucherov actually being. I actually think it's between McDavid and McKinnon.
Me too.
Yeah, Kucherov had a bunch of games like in hand, or the reverse of games in hand. He had played more games.
And I don't know. It's just Tampa Bay's kind of struggled this season. Like they're not in a position they probably should be in with the roster they have. And McKinnon's and McDavid are pushing to win their own divisions. Tampa Bay's, they're going to make the playoffs, but they're pushing to make the playoffs.
Okay, we got to keep moving along. Get to Sounds of the Oil presented by Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. Snow Valley Aerial Park is opening up May 31st. Family fun all summer long. And that's not all you can do there. Check out the Aerial Tower, obviously, the White Mud Creek Mining Company, Target Golf from the base of the ski hill, and the all-new mini golf, all happening out at the Snow Valley Aerial Park. One thing that I will be looking at tonight is, if they don't get off to a good start, how does Chris Knobloch handle the Lions?
Live bet the comeback.
Yes. I thought
you were gonna say.
But Knobloch talking about the decision to throw McDavid and Drysdale together, particularly against Nathan McKinnon. He said, quote, "I think early in the second period, it was a good start. Then when they scored the goal, I thought we were flat. I don't think we did much in the latter half of the second period. And it looked like we needed to get some offense. If the offense isn't there," and again, they only beat the Habs 2-1 last time they played them. "If the offense isn't there early, I wonder if we see him go to the blender today," is my point.
Yeah, and I actually think that's fine. Yeah. I think it's good to do it in-game, and like you've got to adapt, right, to try and win the game. I think to start games with McDavid and Draisaitl isn't always my favorite thing, but go into it in the game and trying to mix things up is fine. But one time they did like 11 different line combinations.
Yeah, I hate like that. You can't
just
do
change
that.
A couple of things.
Yeah. If you want to go Connor and Leon together, do it and move Nuge to Draisaitl's spot and keep rolling.
I agree.
That's where I'm at. All right. One more look into what you're all saying over in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. Christopher Palmer says and makes a good point. Cooch's point advantage over point gives him a huge push. He does have like 40 more points than anyone else on his team. That is something working in Kucherov's favor. So I get that. Jared said Mac for Hart. Tyler Mulick said Mac deserves it unless McDavid goes nuclear soon. But even then, so I looked, Nathan McKinnon, since November 1st, in October, he had two back-to-back stretches where he didn't get a point. Since November 1st, it's only happened once. He had a three-game cold spell. Every other game, he's either getting a point or he's bouncing back the next night and doing something.
Is he still riding that home point streak?
I think he is.
I think he is.
His last home game of the season is against the Oilers.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Did we end it there?
Interesting.
What's the record?
I don't know.
It's Gretzky's record.
It's all 41.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Wayne did all 41.
Quite and then started really. The next year by not getting one at home?
Oh, I don't know about that. Huh. I just know
I love Wayne, with the continuous.
Gretzky's the only one to ever go 41 for 41. So, interesting.
All right. That's insane.
It is. All right. Big shout out to Charm. Diamond Center is proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1972. More than 85 locations across the country. My favorite location is the West Edmonton Mall location. You can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks. And you can trust me when I say it, they do a bang up job. Head to charmdiamondcenters.com for more information.
Sorry, ladies. Tyler is off the market.
Yep.
Thanks to a Charm Diamond.
Tough break.
Gretzky did it in 51 home games in a row. So maybe it went from the one
year before it gets going. Yeah. All right. That's a wrap on today's edition of the show. Oilers Habs tonight at 7 o'clock. That means pre-gaming with Bordsy and myself gets going at 6 right here on the Oilers Nation YouTube. Gregor's up at 2 o'clock as well. So you got a full afternoon of content coming your way. Thanks for tuning in to another Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the program. We'll be back tomorrow. Noon Mountain. Chat with you then.